What's going on, everybody? It's Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. And I want to reflect on this past weekend with the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the ceremony. I want to reflect on it because there's a few things I want to address on top of the ceremony. But, you know, I just want to talk about the ceremony and what I think about it. You know, we have the Basketball Hall of Fame. They have the ceremony. Cooperstown, the baseball, they have their ceremony up in Cooperstown. But, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony in Canton is just amazing to me. It's always been one that I look forward to it just because of the rich history of the game. Just, you know, you're looking at a chance to see all these legends come back and watch the new inductees come back, watching all the old school legends on the, you know, on the podium where everybody give their speeches and, you know, watching them shout the legends out. It's pretty dope to me. I think it's pretty awesome. It's just an amazing thing. The weekend, you know, for me, I'm a guy that loves, I can sit there and watch all classic sports all week, all day, every day. And just to watch these guys ball, their old highlights, is just amazing to me. I take great pride in watching that and looking at everything. But, you know, for me, it's awesome to see everyone when they give their speeches. Some of these speeches are a little bit a little bit more powerful than others. You know, just through the years, I've watched a lot of powerful speeches. Like, one of the speeches that always stands out to me is Isaiah Thomas when he got inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. Talk about his mom, breaking down, talking about her. That was always something that really stood out to me. Obviously, Michael Jordan's speech is pretty awesome. It's just incredible. A lot of great speeches that go on. One speech that stood out for me in football was Marshall Faulk. You know, he had a quote during the speech, and he said, if you never travel down a road with no speed bumps, you're headed for a dead end. Obviously, you just let that marinate. You know what he's trying to say with that one. So things like that are the reason why I love it, the reason why I like it. And I want to address the players who got in. You know, just something really quick. I'm not going to be here long. Then I'm going to talk about their speeches. Like Brian Dawkins, I'll start with him. His speech, he came out. Obviously, if you've seen him come out with a speech, he kind of came out and crawled out like he did when he would get introduced in Philly. They kind of crawled out like the tiger or whatever. That was really awesome. He came out. He spoke with a lot of passion. He spoke about his family. You know, he gave his wife a huge shout out, which is really incredible to see when a guy puts his wife on that pedestal like that. I think so. And he said something that was very, I didn't know. He was battling depression and thought about, he contemplated suicide for a while. And what he said was that I wanted my wife to get the insurance money. It was crazy. Like, just to hear him talk like that, just the hair that come out of his mouth. And, you know, as a guy, that's a football player, you know, football players are looked upon as some of the strongest people in the world. When you're like a little kid, you look at these guys and you say, wow, they're like superhuman. I'm sure there's somebody that looked at this today or looked at the ceremony on Saturday and said, hey, if he can get through depression, he can get through contemplating suicide and end up being a Hall of Famer, then I know I can do so. So it's something that, you know, he sat there and he poured his soul out in front of everybody, and he didn't have to, but he poured out. He wanted everybody to see how far he came, and that was an awesome part of his speech. You know, Brian Urlacher, his speech, he thanked his stepfather, and it was just amazing because seeing that his stepfather came into his life at the right time and kind of helped steer him down the right path, and it made all the difference in the world to him, obviously. Randy Moss, he's seeing how appreciative he is, you know, shouting everybody out, not forgetting his hometown, showing a lot of love to them. He spoke with a lot of passion. Randy showed a side that people didn't really think he had. I mean, I don't know. Some people seem to think that they know athletes a little bit more than athletes give off. Like, you know, people see things through the medium. When Randy Moss says something like straight cash, homie, some people take that and run with it, unfortunately. But Randy Moss showed a real humble dude. You know, he said faith football, you know, faith, family, and football is who he is. And it's awesome. It's awesome to see that, you know. Then you get down to Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis took us to church. You know, Ray had the wireless mic, didn't stand at the podium, spoke for about 34 minutes. Ray was being Ray. You know, he got up there, you know, he spoke of his humble beginning, spoke about that time, spoke about all his stops, and spoke about everything all the way up to Baltimore. Actually got Big Jonathan Ogden up on the stage to do the dance he was known for coming out to when he'd get introduced at home games. So it was pretty amazing. Those are the guys that, you know, the modern guys. Then we had Jerry Kramer, Bobby Bethard, and Robert Brazel get inducted as well. And of course, we had one missing person. Obviously, we know who it was. It was T.O. You know, he did his own thing at his alma mater, UT Chattanooga. You know, he got up there. He spoke for a little bit, spoke of his humble beginnings, thanked his mom for all she did and how she raised him and took care of their family. You know, T.O. had it in an open crowd. He let everybody in free. You know, he had one of his old coaches introduce him. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was an amazing thing, an amazing turnout. It wasn't something that backfired on him where it was like, oh, you know, he should have gone to Canton and he didn't have anybody. No, he filled the gym up. He sat there and spoke for people that are misunderstood, people that are considered outcasts and so forth. T.O. spoke for the people that can't speak for themselves. And he's always been that guy that never really fit in, according to him, you know? And when you look at this, right, I left him for last because his situations are so different to me. And being a guy that loves sports and I follow sports and I listen and I talk about sports now, for me, I just want to go over something real quick, right? How does a man with over 1,000 catches, 1,078 to be exact, that's ranked eighth all time, how does a man with 15,934 yards, ranked second all time, and 153 touchdowns, third all time, take 3 years to get inducted? Now, if this is another guy, any other guy, this is a guy that didn't speak up and a guy that wasn't vocal and gave you politically correct answers, he'd have been on the first ballot, no questions asked, right? None. So because you get a guy that's brutally honest, a guy that speaks his piece, speaks his mind, we take the time to go forth and we hold him out for, you know, we hold him out for 2 years, for 3 years. Well, 2 years. He missed the first two. He made it on his third try. So I found that to be a little bit insulting. I found that to be, I don't know, I just found it to be crazy. Because you look at these numbers, look at those numbers. It's insane how voters have so much power. It really is insane when I think about it, right? It's really insane. And you know, like, you look at certain sports, like you look at baseball, I get it. You get to control in that. You get to control what goes on and you get to pick who you want to pick. And I get it. You should play the game with integrity. If you have any steroid use in baseball, you shouldn't do it. But I mean, if you make the rules, then find a way to beat the rules. Because me personally, I'm going to sit there and say, I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. It's not like a Roger Clemens case where you got Brian McNamee on the phone and he's kind of recording the conversation and he's letting Roger know what's what. And Roger Clemens is trying to, you know, contradict that on the phone, or Roger Clemens is, you know, how should I say this? He's recording Brian McNamee, and Brian McNamee has proof that, you know, he has the needles and all the other proof, and Roger Clemens is trying to record him to defame him or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I look at it like this. Barry Bonds has never been, I don't think he's tested positive. I think he may have come up positive, right? Regardless of the fact, everybody benefited from him. Everybody, you know, pocketed a lot of money, the Giants, Major League Baseball. And I get it, his numbers are going up little by little. But I say this, listen, if you feel like you don't want to reward a cheat, greatest career from Pittsburgh to the first part of a San Francisco Giant career and knock off the back. And if you want to look at it from that standpoint, you're going to have to count his totals because he performed on the field and he knocked every home run out the park. He hit every hit that he hit. But if you want to be smart about it, I'd say, listen, judge him off those years in Pittsburgh, then get the first part of San Francisco. Those numbers still add up to be a Hall of Famer. That's just me. You know, even with Roger Clemens, if you want to go there, hell, get the first part in Boston. That's pretty Hall of Fame, like, if you ask me. So we never really know why people do things. And we understand with baseball because these guys cheated, right? T.O. was a guy that's never been in any off-the-field trouble, right? Never. You know, he's got all these great accolades. His on-the-field behaviors was rubbing a lot of people the wrong way, right? So, of course, he played for five different teams over his career because of this, because he would do certain things, right? Wanted out of San Francisco, initially got traded to Baltimore, didn't want to be in Baltimore. Forced another trade out. Well, Baltimore, that deal was his next. Ended up going to Philly. Gets to Philly, plays in the Super Bowl. Damn near one leg. Plays his heart out. Philly comes up short. He wants a new contract. Remember, football's a sport where they don't give a damn about you. If you sit there and you start to play and get a man, they love you. The minute you cannot do what you've been doing the year before, the day before, weeks before, they will get rid of you. You will be an afterthought. So for me, to see a man ask for more money after he played on one leg, he was right for doing so. Maybe doing sit-ups in the driveway really wasn't the way to get your message across. But people out here doing a whole lot worse, right? People out here doing a whole lot worse. And you're going to sit there and you're going to judge a man because that's what it seems to be. And my thing is, who are these guys that are not voting for? If you're a writer, you have to learn how to separate. Okay, he had a bad day today. He's not a people person. But Danny went on the field and he balled out. I mean, are we going to sit there and we're going to keep turning a blind eye to these things because these guys decide they want to hold people accountable because he didn't speak to me the proper way? Who are judging these writers? Who's judging these voters? You know, did anybody in the Hall of Fame sit there and say, yo, well, why is he not here? You know, why is he not in? Is there not a way we can sit there and get these guys checked? Have somebody overseeing this whole, you know, this whole thing? Because I still get curious with certain things. Who didn't vote for Ken Griffey in the Hall of Fame? Ken Griffey almost had he's almost at 100%, but somebody didn't vote him on it. Somebody left him off the ballot. I found that to be crazy. Here's a guy that smacked over 600 home runs and was injured the last part of his career. Did it clean. Had the prettiest swing in baseball. And I know I'm going off topic right now because it's about T.O. right now, about this little silly situation, but I'm talking about writers all across the board. You look at other guys in certain sports, it's like, why not in the Hall of Fame yet? Why? Why is it taking so long? You know, why these voters, if you didn't do anything to cheat the game, and again, let me go back to Barry Bonds, I get it. If you want to judge him on the first part of his career with the Pirates and then the first half of that San Francisco career. So I'm sticking to that, but we're going to get off of that because we're talking about T.O. right now. So here's a guy that did things that rubbed people the wrong way, but everything was, his antics were all harmless. When he got in the middle of the star in Dallas and put his arms out? Is that what people are mad about? That's crazy. You mad about that? Because he pulled the Sharpie out? Are you mad about that? I mean, let's be realistic now. It doesn't make any sense. You're mad at what? And some of these writers, they do it and they'll constantly do it. And I think it's sickening. It's annoying. You look at Chris Carter, there's another one. Chris Carter had to wait on his 6 year of eligibility. And he had amazing numbers. Like how? He had 1,101 passes, 13,899 yards, and he had 130 touchdowns. It's mind-boggling. It's crazy as all hell that he had to wait until the 6 year of eligibility. What did he do? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what's the criteria. If anybody hears this and anybody knows what's what, please let me know. Because these numbers are Hall of Fame like numbers, right? These numbers are Hall of Fame numbers. You know, Chris Carter, to me, he was never known as a guy that disrespected the media. Like, what is it? It's just crazy. And I think these guys, you got to, certain things make you scratch your head. Like, T.O. put up all these numbers and he wasn't the first ballot Hall of Famer. And I feel like the same thing would have happened to Randy Moss. And Randy Moss really wasn't on TV showing that other side that we didn't really get to know. So people, you know, you had a chance to warm up to Randy is what I'm trying to say, right? And shit, Randy's all world. He and T.O., they're all world. But what if Randy would have decided to say, I don't want to be on TV, I'll come on occasionally, and people didn't really get a chance to know him or know that side of him? Would this have been another thing where Randy is, you know, where Randy is getting left off the ballot, and not left off the ballot, but he's not getting voted as one of the, you know, he's not getting voted to go in? I think it's silly. It's ridiculous. And these guys need to be, you know, these guys need to step up. Like, what is it? What are you mad about? No, I find it funny. You want a guy to sit there, exemplify great behavior on the field, the guy, you know, again, what I'd say on the field, what, Sharpie and the Dallas Star incident? I mean, that's not really the worst thing you can really do. I mean, there's other things you can do. You know, you can blindside someone. You can illegally hit someone. You can do a lot of other things, right, that people have done. We're not going to sit there and harp on that right now. But it's like, you know, voters seemingly want you to be who they want you to be. Let's go back to a great case study everybody would like to dig into. Let's talk about O.J. Simpson, right? He showed you who he wanted you to see, right? He showed you the cool guy, the guy that everybody loved, the guy that was America's darling, a media darling, right? Running through airports with Hurts. He showed you, you know, he showed you everything. He showed you all that stuff, right? But what happened behind closed doors while OJ was sitting there promoting Hurts, commentating games on ABC? He was torturing his wife back home. And I'm not going to try to dig in on that, but we know what happened with that. It's very unfortunate. And you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. They can't take him out the Hall of Fame. But it's like, you know, T.O. ain't never getting no stuff like that. And he's in now. He had a great celebration. And some people may listen to this and say, yo, what you worried about that for? What you bugging? I just think those writers need to be held accountable. Somebody needs to overlook their work. Because it's insulting for these guys to go out there and play their hearts out. You know, and T.O. got in the third year of eligibility. How do you let Chris Carter out? How do you leave him out? Like 5 years before you finally say, okay, CC, we'll let you in. That's crazy. And we get it, T.O.'s boldness and his brashness, you know, him being as honest as he is, you know, it may have rubbed some people the wrong way. You may not have wanted to do it. You may not have wanted to put him in. You know, he probably could have still been playing. He's physically gifted. 44, you know, he went viral a couple weeks ago, dunking on some dude. Runs a 4-4 still. Shit, T.O. could play for somebody right now. T.O. could have been for wide receivers, but Brady's been for quarterbacks. When Brady said he wanted to play till he was 45, everybody sat there and laughed at him. He just turned 41 a couple days ago. At the rate he's going, he doesn't get hit that hard. And when he knows how to slide, he knows how to get down. So unless he gets blindsided, Brady ain't going to get hit too hard. He's going to probably fulfill that promise to play in the 45. NFL MVP at 40 years old? Kind of crazy. This man is running a 4-4. This man's running a 4-4. I mean, this is crazy. T.O.'s athletic. He's gifted athletically. Like, he honestly probably could have still been playing in the league. You know, he can still get somebody 40 catches a year, 35, 40 catches. He may not be an every down back, but he can get you some catches now. He still looks sharp. He's still in great physical shape. We all know that. T.O. stays ready, but, you know, he's retired. He's been retired. He wants to come back. Should be given a shot by somebody, maybe in the CFL. But I just really want to, I really wanted to address these riders because I really think, you know, the riders can take so much of the beauty away from it. And not every rider is the same. Some riders know how to separate the differences between the two. You know, it's a guy that plays intense. This is what he is. And some cannot. It just seems to me that some people got snubbed for an interview. Some people got snubbed. He didn't want to talk to you. So what was your payback? Oh, I'm going to check. Oh, where are you going to talk to me? All right. No Hall of Fame for you. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's legit. If you're doing stuff like that and not voting off of what a guy does on the field, if he's a guy that had character issues, I'd understand. But if he's a guy that's been sitting up there and gets between those lines, he played his tail off every day, you know, what are you holding him out for? So that was my gripe with everything. The ceremony was wonderful. It was beautiful. Both ceremonies. His ceremony was amazing. It was amazing. For him to pull it off, it was amazing, right? And I wish he would have been in camp like everybody else. But listen, man, T.O. did his thing. You know, I commend him for it. I'm honestly sitting there listening to everything and letting everybody hear him out. He's right. Some of these writers don't, you know, they don't abide by the rules and the guidelines. It's a joke. So they need to be called out as well. They sit behind a desk and nobody's calling them out. And I wish some of the guys would speak up, the guys who didn't vote for him. Why didn't you vote for him? Why didn't you vote for him? Oh, he wasn't a star in Dallas? You put the Sharpie out? Come on, not disrespecting the game. But I need no here nor there. I really wanted to address it because I found it to be comical that he had to wait so long. Yeah, it was only third year of eligibility, but he had to wait 3 years too long. So he deserves it. He's a great receiver. One of the best we've ever seen. An athletic freak, a genetic freak. Could probably still be playing in the NFL right now if he was given a legit shot. So that's my take on that situation. I just wanted to address it. I just wanted to bring it out and call these riders out. But thank you again for tuning in like always. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're on social media, obviously, I have an Instagram page at Sports Drama Entertainment. That'll be changing soon, but for now, it's at Sports Drama Entertainment, so please hit the follow button. If you're on, you know, if you're on Apple, Google Play, all these other, you know, I'm on Spotify, the Jamon Bolton Show, please tune in, subscribe, you know, please, like, leave comments, let me know what I can do better, inbox me, DM me, you know, Facebook, my name is Jamon T. Bolton, you got my name, do it all, I'm accepting all criticism, constructive criticism. I want it all. I want to get great at this. I want to be better at this. So, you know, thank you guys for your support. Thank you for everything. I appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back with you guys soon in a couple days. Peace.